There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. A reminder here, too. So if you want to go back and talk, listen to what John had said about data centers or share that info, that all goes up in our, you know, we podcast everything we do here. And you can check it out by going to a couple different places. The fastest place it posts is, and I wish I could tell you I had some, like, plan where I did this, but, I mean, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I appreciate y'all being on the app, but it's, you know, it's free and all that. First place it posts is to the FM Talk 106.5 app. I don't know. The internet, the data centers get it there more quickly. Then you can also get it anywhere you subscribe for podcasts. Make sure you subscribe for FM Talk 106.5. It'll show up there. Or without fail also, you can just go to fmtalk1065.com and click the link for podcast, and they'll be right there. And while you're there, where's the segue? While you're there, if you want to read through the details in the America 250 Summer Showcase, right there up top, you can click the link. You'll see the banner there, and it'll take you through all the details here. And, you know, we talk about the picture each week that's winning on the Facebook page, the patriotic photo. In addition, and you can do both. Somebody asked me the other day, yes, you can absolutely do both. You can post a picture up and post pictures up on the Facebook page. At the same time, you can drop your name in the registration boxes that are great participating sponsors here. And from those, they're going to draw winners, and from the photographs, we're going to draw winners, and all y'all are going in to the drawing for the grand prize. Like it's, and let me kind of run through this real quickly. If you've not checked this out, so just, you know what, we hadn't talked about the grand prize in a while. Let me run through this. Here's what you got. It comes up to about $4,600 in value. J&M Tackle, which, by the way, they Chris from J&M is going to be on the Outdoor Show with Mike and I tomorrow. Should be fun talking about getting the reports from this last week. You know, what's happening offshore, near shore, inshore, all that kind of good stuff. Let's see. J&M Tackle in Orange Beach has a huge fishing and outdoor prize package at $2,500 value. That's part of what you're going to win. Our friends at G&D Farm Feed and Outdoors, Sportsman's Package. I saw the picture of this the other day. It's pretty awesome. $600 value. Gray's Craze, the charcuterie boards and boxes, $500 value. Our friends at the Cart Doctor hooking you up with the Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth soundbar. So you put that in your ATV, your UTV, your boat, golf cart, whatever. I love those things. The Pig, Piggly Wiggly, $500 shopping spree. Man, I could use that right now. If you want to... there are going to be people that feel my pain. I have a teenage son, okay? That's all I need to say. So I could use that for sure. And all those places you can drop your name in. Of course, the folks at American Legacy providing us with the weekly prizes as well. That American-made American flag plus a flagpole kit for it. And these are beautiful flags. You know how I am about flags, the American flag. Fantastic. You can, and we're going to win one of those a week. Everybody from the pictures is winning one, and each person drawn from the participating sponsors is going to win one as well. But do go by, drop your name in at American Legacy in Gulf Shores, J&M Tackle in Orange Beach, Grace Craze here in Mobile, Cart Doctor in Theodore, G&D Farms in Wilmer, and participating Piggly Wiggly locations. We've got, let me go through these pretty fast, Mount Vernon, Georgetown, Saraland, 8 Mile Whistler, Tolmanville, Spanish Fort, Loxley, Fairhope, Foley, and the one at University Boulevard. So make sure you stop by there, and you'll see the box with our logo and the American flag and all that. Drop your name in there. And this goes through the, well, we'll do the drawing on August 31st. I think it's, okay, no, September 1st. So your last to get your name in is August 31st. We'll draw on September 1st. So all the details are over there on our website. You can check it out there. All right, to the text line here, let's go to, let's get a lot of questions and discussions of refrigeration loops. Oh, and I had a side discussion over there about, because Squirrel Farina had said something about putting them on rigs in the Gulf. If y'all stumble upon one of my childhood fantasies was to buy a jackup rig. You know, we don't see them as much anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. The jackup rigs they used, float them out there and then jack them up. If you see one of those with a good deal, I keep looking on Facebook Marketplace, don't see them. I need one. Either I'm going to do like a be an international Bond villain with it or have a fishing camp there. But if you see one, let me know. I got about $1,000 or less. Tim says, Sean, I'm so confused. What makes people think that Alabama Power is going up on the power rates if they sell electricity to data centers? Well, I think this is, and Tim, this is one I worry about because there have been some places this discussion has come up. Like, they can pull some juice. Like, I think I was looking around, like 500 megawatts. I think some places they're proposing, I don't think these exist yet, 1,000 megawatts, which is like the power demand of a city, you know, a small city. So that's going to be pulling more if they have to. Now, we have a rates cap by that swell deal we got from the legislature when they restructured the PSC. Remember, they threw in the crumb there that they would cap the rates through 2029. So we have a little bit of breathing space. But I guess if they have to build, you know, if Alabama Power or whatever utility has to build a new power plant, which I don't think they would, but if that, or new transmission lines, substations, all that kind of stuff, maybe that gets passed on to the rest of us. Yeah, I don't know. Can Alabama Power, this would be interesting too, if somebody there knows, can they handle, like the one they're proposing in Calvert, can you just hook them up, or do you have to do some infrastructure to make it where you can get enough? I don't know how much. Do they have enough power coming out right now without building out new things to be able to provide the power needed? That is my question. Now, that's the only thing, Tim, I can figure out is a worry for me is my power bill goes up. Because I'm trying to be open-eyed in this. I know that doesn't exist a lot in our binary discussions in this country, but I'm trying to figure this out. Just like everyone else is, I see the people upset. No data centers, but why? But why? That's where I am with it. Derek said the product Checkpoint. It's the ones that control it is what's scary. Checkpoint is more than that. Okay, but Derek, like we talked about the other day, there's two parts of this worrying about. Because these data centers are agnostic, right? They're providing storage space. It's the AI companies, right? What they're doing, the data center is not part of Anthropic or something like that. This one's Beacon, whatever. But I mean, there's players in this. They're providing the space to store stuff on. The actual data center is not making decisions of things you're worried about for monitoring and all that. Same way. Yeah, they're providing the storage or in a way kind of the raw material, right? Like if I sell cattle, right? I'm not making a decision on how that thing is prepared. I'm just providing the meat that the chef needs or whatever. Cut some pine trees. I'm just providing it's to the end user that's gonna. Oh, which by the way, I got a text about that a second ago. That's gonna hose us on the price. It's the end seller, right? So I think that's kind of what the data centers are. They're just providing, they're a contractor, they're a vendor to the AI people. This texter, let's see, who is this from? It's an unnamed texter, but this is fascinating. When John mentioned PLCs, texter says, PLCs are very powerful process control computers. IT people have no idea what they are capable of. Yes, they turn valves on and off, but they're also capable of examining the lumber market. Now, listen to this. Whoever you are, this is fascinating. They're capable of examining the lumber market to know what dimension of lumber will make the most money. They can connect to many networks for different reasons. I wish IT people would give OT its due respect. But that's interesting. I got to Google that and see. So it's monitoring. Is that why we, you know, our 2x4s aren't 2x4? Is that why our, 4x4s aren't really 4x4? I mean, all that stuff. Is that why we got there? That's okay. I got to dig into that. That gets my attention. All right, coming right back, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's at 120 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Forrest and the folks at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Something didn't go right during the rodeo. Get the boat in there. Get the service work done. Also talk about shopping for your next boat with Blue Water, whether it's the new inventory, the used inventory. Check this out. Forrest, I didn't know you were high tech, man. Check it out. It's called Blue Water Concierge. And he said it was built to make boat shopping feel less like a guessing game and more like a guided experience. Instead of scrolling through endless listings, boaters can start with the lifestyle fit section and see how they fish, cruise, entertain, explore, use the Gulf. Then they receive vessel recommendations shaped around their real boating lifestyle. App brings together some of the most helpful parts of the buying journey in one place, including personalized vessel matching, new and pre-owned inventory browsing, boat details, financing information, events, ownership resources, and team access. It's designed to help buyers move from, I like that one, to this is the right fit with more confidence and less back and forth. So if you go to their website for Blue Water Yacht Sales, and you can get a link there. And so they have an app now. It used to be just calling Forrest, say, what you got? And you can still do that. But you can use this app now to find the right boat for you. And it's all through my friends at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service on the East I-65 Service Road. And check them out at Orange Beach Marina as well. Well, get this guy back on the... Get him on the phone. He was just on the air, and John Hill chiming back in. What did I say, man?
No. So the other texter that texted in about the PLCs, I wanted to clarify something. So first off, PLCs can be used in industrial, mechanical operations, and they make modern life possible, right? So I just kind of wanted to clear that up, is that I absolutely appreciate what PLCs do, what they are. My point was the communication of those PLCs did not used to be on TCP/IP networks. Now you see a lot of them that are. So he is, you know, I guess he's talking about a head saw on a mill.
It was cool that it figured out what dimension of lumber.
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated by that.
So Swift Lumber, I'm friends with them, and they have, you know, a system that, you know, will break down the size of the log and, you know, size it up to where there's very little waste or no waste of the log itself when it comes through. And, you know, PLCs don't just, he's right, they don't just do valves. There's thousands of different jobs that those do. So the point wasn't, I felt like I needed to clarify if he thought I was minimizing the job of what PLCs do. They're very powerful. They are computers. They're small, sometimes not so small. Focused computer systems that do a job or a few different jobs. And my point was pointing out that used to those were all a lot of serialized connections that weren't IP based, right? And so now most of those devices are TCP/IP. So I bet, for instance, in the cutter that he's talking about, I bet you can get into some sort of interface on that is by an IP address and control it, or see, you know, at least see what it's doing.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And to that texter, I'm going to need video of this because I'm intrigued.
All right.
Thanks, John.
I'll try to, no problem. Talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes. Get a few more of these texts in here. Michael said, I'm guessing the banghead repair was overhead. There wasn't anything that changed in the roadway, but a large repaired spot overhead closer towards Mobile. All right, where they did the patch. It goes on saying, thanks to Obama for getting rid of all our wonderful structure in the Gulf. I love the family camp up in the Delta, but man, a rig near the nipple would be an absolute dream. Maybe we should go buy some Powerball tickets and dream. Michael, my idea from when I was young was I was going to get a jack-up oil rig, and then we could take it just right out to the shelf, just as, you know, the depth where we could crank the legs down and get to the bottom, and that'd be our fishing camp. Would that be awesome? Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach, in the way technology is jumping exponentially, how long are these data centers going to be viable before they're obsolete? Well, I think, you know, John and I were talking about that, and I think that's part of what might happen with quantum computing. At least they won't be obsolete, but I think they got to be smaller. Jason said, didn't Trump say that data centers would be required to supply their own power infrastructure via substations, private nuclear, et cetera? I think he did, but that's not what's been happening right now. Hey, thank you. Traffic update, too, from Jarhead. Traffic's backed up northbound 65 at 158. So, Sarah Land up there, 158. So, traffic backed up northbound 65 going to 158. Derek says, IBM built the number systems that the Nazis used. My point is the players involved. The building is the end product. The conversation is happening backwards. With this build out, certain players will have a chance to exploit this. But aren't they going to do that? Wouldn't they do that? Like, whether it's here or not, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't get the one in Calvert, that doesn't stop the things you're worried about. Yeah, I saw that. CB Carl, rest in peace, my old friend and calendar brother. Brother Pat. I didn't know that you were on the calendar. It's the men of the Redneck Riviera. That's good. Now, that sad news, yeah, the passing of Pat McClellan. They came out, you heard Devin talking about it. It says, according to employees at the Floribama, Pat McClellan died peacefully on Wednesday. Quote here, it says, I guess this is coming from the employees. Some people own a business. Pat McClellan built a legend. If you've ever thrown a mullet, toasted a bushwhacker, danced barefoot to a band you didn't know you'd love, laughed with a stranger who became a friend, or watched his son disappear over Perdido Key, you've experienced a little piece of Pat's heart, end quote. Now, it says, story here, McClellan joined Joe Gilchrist as the co-owner of Floribama, which sits right on the Florida-Alabama line. Yeah, we know that part. In October of 1984, since then, he has created the Polar Bear Plunge, Interstate Mullet Toss, among other annual events. Go on to say here, he had a gift for turning ordinary days into stories worth telling. He believed the best things in life weren't polished. They were salty, sandy, a little loud, and shared with good people. Pat was quick with a joke, had a boisterous laugh, a huge presence, and was never short on a story. And somehow he always managed to remind us not to take life too seriously, quietly showing us what really mattered, and that's people. So, yeah, the passing of Pat McClellan. Sad news there. Floribama. Legendary. I mean, to the point that not only legendary to us and travelers, I mean, I think the number of books, I know two of them, I think, off the top of my head. But the number, Grisham wrote about it. I think Floribama shows up in multiple novels, you know, where they use that as part of the setting. That's pretty cool. It gives us, you know, some history made right here at the Florida-Alabama line. But they had not mentioned anything for services or anything yet, so I'll let you know if that comes up. There's somebody sending me an article from Environmental Health Project. I'm going to have to read that later. It says, project that outlines the dangers of data centers. Excellent. This is what I want to read. I want to read this stuff and get educated. Because the things I've heard, the pushback I've heard, they just don't seem logical to me. Right? Especially you put something here in an area that already has heavy industry. Why is this bad? I mean, if we don't get the, You don't get the pushback. You know, a Novellis comes in, ArcelorMittal, TK, every, you know, ribbon cutting and clapping and jumping up and down, all that stuff going on. But the data center comes in, it's like it's immediate pushback. So I guess I'm missing that. Hey, yeah, Clint, thanks for the picture. I got a picture yesterday. Clint sent me that Bertha broke away the tip of the west end of Dolphin Island. I saw somebody sent me a video yesterday. Who was that? Of the breach there. Yeah, we're just down there doing the rodeo fishing. It happens, you know, west end will breach and then reform and all that. So I am interested in how deep it is. Not that it would have anything to do with the place to catch a speckled trout, but I am. We might go this weekend and go look. But yeah, this is, so Clint, thanks for the picture. Yeah, people are saying you got a split to the west end of Dolphin Island going on out there. Check that out. Maybe get on the boat tomorrow. We'll see. It's laying down some. Yeah, that'll be good. More picture. Okay. What, were y'all all just out riding this week? Everybody's out on their boat during the weekdays. You're killing me. All right. Thanks for the pictures. Keep them coming. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 1:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Yes, well, we continue to get educations today. We'll go to the professor, Professor Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And first of all, I check in on precious metal prices here on this Friday. What you looking at?
Looking at gold and silver both up. Gold is up $7.16 as we sit right now at $4,054.12. Silver is up 77 cents at $58.29. And platinum is down $4 and palladium is even.
Okay, I got a question to you as well. If I don't, at these prices, if I don't have the cash on hand to buy a bar of gold, what other denominations could I get in? What do you have for me?
Everything from 1 gram all the way up to, you know, basically 100 gram bars are available. I mean, bigger things are available, but you really don't want to put your money in a 10 ounce gold bar because if you need to sell it, it's hard to sell. You always want to try to stay with 100 gram or less. They're all easy to transact. Same thing with silver, but anytime you get under 1 ounce, the premiums are higher. It's just the way of the world because it takes more money and energy to strike an ounce of tenths than it does for one single 1 ounce bar or round. So they have to add extra money because the dyes cost money and the manufacturing process costs money. So it's all relevant. When you sell a tenth, you get more from us than if you sold an ounce as far as the premium goes. So if you pay a little more on the front side, usually you can get it back on the back side when you need to sell it.
See, a constant education. All right, let's talk about that. Somebody wants to come in and you know, find out the right size of gold for them or silver or anything else. How do they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Good stuff, Ron. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes. And go see him today at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And let's get our buddy David Preston on here, and I want to point out as we talk about, we're going to talk about a new book. It's about every 6 months we're talking about a new book with you, man. Well done.
Well, thank you. When you get your leg cut off, you do have a lot of free time to do stuff like that.
And we'll get that crocheted on a pillow. Yes, that's that's true. I mean, so this is how many books for you now?
I've got a total of 7 out now. I'm finishing up number 8 as we speak.
Amazing. New one, a Civil War novel.
Yes, this one actually came out the beginning of May. Believe it or not, I did not plan it this way, but the book came out on the anniversary that the unit that I feature in the book was actually formed. This unit is my great-great-grandfather's unit in the Civil War, and he enlisted in the 2nd Alabama Confederate Cavalry on May 8th of 1862, about a month after the Battle of Shiloh. The unit was actually formed in Montgomery on May 1st of 1862.
So, what engagements did they see?
Well, this first book, this is actually the first in a series of five that I'm going to write about their service. And my ancestor was actually there for all of their service because he served all the way through the end of the war. But this first book covers covers their time stationed in Pollard. It was Pollard at the time. It's now Flemington, but at Camp Lee in Pollard. But they also later in the war they followed Sherman's army back to Vicksburg from Meridian, and then fought Sherman's army again in both the Atlanta campaign and the March to the Sea. And then the last book the last book will cover the most interesting part of their service to me, and that was they participated as a part of Jefferson Davis's escort guard after he fled Richmond and before he got caught in Georgia.
And this is cool for just Civil War history fans, but at the same time, there's probably other of you out there that had family that was in the second, you know. And In telling your story, you're going to tell their forefather's story.
Yes, absolutely. The Second Alabama was made up of companies from all around the state, mainly Greenville North. I don't know why there wasn't a whole lot of a lot of companies from the Mobile area. I don't know why that happened. It just ended up that way. There is a lot of research, primary research and secondary research into the Second Alabama that has recently come out in the last few years from actual ancestors of the Second Alabama that I relied on in developing the material for this book and the future book.
You talk about, in the book, Smoke Over the Pine Barrens, you're sourcing, you said primary and secondary. Educate me, what's a primary, what's a secondary?
Okay, primary research is research that was written at the time that the event happened, like diaries, military
Ken
reports.
Burns stuff.
Newspaper.
Ken Burns stuff. Yeah. Where they, I have been shot, honey. I will not make it home. I love you and the kids. That kind of stuff.
Exactly. And then secondary research is basically books and research papers that were written after the fact. Like there is a nonfiction book that was put out by an ancestor of the Second Alabama back in 2024 called Trampling Union Terror, and it covers basically a lot of the same material that I'll cover in my book series. It's just written in it's nonfiction though. Mm-hmm. And it's written like nonfiction. It's written like your history textbook in school, basically.
Do we put some meat on the bones? I mean, it's just an accounting of they were here, they moved here, it took 3 days, or do we find out about the
No,
the
it
men?
Actually... It actually tells the story of what happened at what events they encountered in while they were stationed here at Camp Pollard, but it tells it through the eyes of several main characters, including the main character who's based off of my great great grandfather, whose actual name was William Wilkerson Pettit. My character's name is Wilkerson McRae, but it covers actual events that actually happened to the Second Alabama while they were stationed in Camp Lee. For example, some of the events covered in the book is there was a poker game at Camp Lee where all of the officers of the Second Alabama decided to participate in a poker game all night, and we don't know the exact date of the poker game. We do know that it was either late November, early December. But the reason why we know the poker game happened is because there was a court martial related to that poker game.
Okay.
Because again, it was a light poker game, most likely fueled by whiskey. And at the end of the next morning,
ain't nothing changed.
But the next morning, as they were settling their debts, the actual colonel of the unit at the time, F.W. Hunter, got angry with the regimental major and actually slapped the major across the face.
Ooh.
And in response to that, the major decided he could not let that affront to his honor go unchallenged, so he pulled out his pistol and shot the colonel in the hip. And that is what the court-martial was about, and it actually happened on December 7th, 1862. I know that happened because I was actually able to get my hands on the court-martial report from the Confederate government records. And that that led to the dismissal of both men from the Confederate Army and the demotion of the colonel from colonel to private. And that that actually didn't get finalized until April of 1863, when President Davis actually signed off on the discipline. There was also another event that happened before the poker game that I cover in the book, and it's the Milton. I call it the Milton Raid, and what happened was in the summer of 1862, Colonel Hunter took a detachment of Confederates to look for forage for supplies, look for deserters. That kind of typical army stuff for that time, and decided he wanted to spend the night at a in Milton at a hotel called the Eagle Hotel at the time. Now, there are some contemporary newspaper reports that that the women of the town of Milton informed the Union Army that the Union regiment that went looking for these Confederate soldiers where they were at, but there's no official documentation in the official report filed by the Union regiment that that went looking for them, because the Union Army in Pensacola had got wind of the activities of the of this unit, and so they went looking for them. Now, in my book, I do not know that these women were women of the night in Milton.
I was waiting for that one.
I do not know that they were women of the night, but because I am a novelist and I can take some creative licenses with my literature, I did choose to make them women of the night that were spurned from or were stiffed on their services. And as they were leaving the party that night, they ran across the Union regiment and told them where to find them. Now, we do know that the raid happened, and that the Union regiment supplied or surprised the Confederates in Milton that night, because there is an official report in the official record of the war between the states in Washington related to this, in which they captured three men of the 2nd Alabama and about four horses and other related equipment like saddles and rifles and stuff. And by the time that the rest of the regiment that was camped at Bluff Springs, Florida, which is just on the, right there on the border with Flemington and Pollard, once the rest of the unit showed up in Milton, the Union Army had skedaddled back to Pensacola. So, there wasn't any other engagement beyond the Confederates sleeping at the Eagle Hotel, getting woken up and having to skedaddle out of the hotel half-dressed into the woods around Milton.
Wow, what a story. So let's talk about people picking up this book. Where can they do it?
The best place to get a copy of the book is my website, which is davidlpreston.com, and that's all one word. There's no spaces or dashes. It costs $20 on the website. That includes tax and shipping, and I'll, of course, sign it for you. If you just go to that web address, it's right there at the top of the screen. You can get copies at Page and Powlett and at Barnes & Noble and Spanish Fort, or anywhere else online books are sold.
Good stuff, David, and continue the great work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there we go. Author who gets it done. We all sat around and said, one day we'll write a book. But David continues to do that. I'm always impressed with it. Y'all check it out. And we'll probably be talking about that when we get closer to Christmas time, too. Smoke Over the Pine Barrens, the name of the book. Be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106. Get your call or text through. I'll get to the text line in a second. Saw this story came through WPMI's website from ABC 3340 up in Birmingham. Says, headline is, should Alabama students learn AI? Tuberville says yes. What is learning AI? It says, as Alabama prepares for another school year and state leaders examine the role of technology in the classroom, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville says artificial intelligence should be taught to students at an early age. During a Thursday morning conference call with Alabama reporters, Tuberville said AI is already becoming part of education and argued students need to understand both the technology and its risks. His comments came one day after Governor Kay Ivey signed an executive order creating the Governor's Commission on Screen-Based Instruction. I just like the fact that I'm picturing Governor Ivey. Well, you go get in the say I here. Says Governor Ivey signed the executive order creating the Governor's Commission on Screen-Based Instruction to study the use, risks, and benefits of screen-based instruction in Alabama's K-12 classrooms. I'm glad we really got on this thing right away here in Alabama. Jesus. Yeah, that's a hot take here. Maybe 10 years ago, we could have talked about it. ABC 3340 asked Tuberville how schools can embrace artificial intelligence while also addressing concerns about increasing students' screen times. Tuberville said, "We got to teach AI. We've got to teach kids in the classroom because they're going to learn it regardless." End quote. Are we talking about building it, or what are we talking about? Or using it? Because, I mean, the stuff I listen to has me thinking it won't be too long before AI starts building AI. Sure, there's going to be some humans involved, but, it will build, you can have AI to build further AI. I'm glad our state is Johnny on the spot here. We're getting after it now about screen time and learning. I mean, my kids, especially my younger, I mean, that was like all the, it was all laptop stuff, which here's the danger. How to use a laptop and not goof off on it. There's the key. And I know there's, they lock it down. They can only do this and that and the other. I've watched it happen. You can goof on them as well. But you think the teacher in the classroom is going to, maybe if you have a tech department or something, but the teacher in the classroom is trying to teach and the kids are trying to figure out how to goof. I mean, because they're humans. I mean, that's what. But yeah, now we got an executive order for Governor Ivey. Now we're going to get after it. So there we go. Latest AI story. Let's see from the text line here. And let's see. Derek said, "And before you dismiss The View, ask your listeners truly believe the official 9/11 story, WTC7. It's too much. Can't win that side. But if I have to argue on environmental grounds, I don't have to acknowledge the underlying issues. I can fight those another day. Kicking our constitutional can down the road." All right. I see that. All right. I don't know. There are two different discussions, right? There's a discussion of what's being housed at the data center. It's going to be housed at a data center somewhere versus the argument of the data centers are bad for, the cows or the mean temperature or something like that. David said, "Don't forget, Floribama was Mike Leach's favorite hangout, and Kenny Chesney wrote a song about it." Yeah, pretty. I mean, you talk about a legacy for McClellan. That's pretty awesome. And think about what a cool life that had to be. I mean, I'm sure like everything. You look from the outside, you say, "What a cool thing to do for a living." They all got, it's still a job, but to live that life, that's pretty special. To be able to do that for a job, I think. Think about this. I mean, sure, you're running a business. It's not like it's all fun, but I don't know what business he came from in 84, but to come in and say, "Okay, we're going to run arguably one of the coolest bars in the nation. We live down here on the beach and do that." And I think that's awesome. Well, cool. Chris, that's very talented. Said, "I painted this many years ago when I had way too much time on my hands. It's done on a bed sheet. It's got the American flag and the Floribama in it." I'm always in awe because I can't draw a smiley face. The people that can, they can do that. I mean, cool. The artwork thing is cool. I've got a child, same one I talked about. The son, he can, it skips a generation or I don't know. I don't have it, but he can absolutely draw and make art like that. Michael, that's a cool photo, and no, I'm not going to put it on Facebook for you. Michael's saying he can't post his patriotic photo because he doesn't use Facebook because he's young. Listen, get you a burner account on there just to post it up. It's a cool photo. I'd like y'all to see it. You got the American flag in the background, got a Stouter up front, looks like a camp in the Delta. I'm jealous of that scene. That's Okay. Florida man says thank you, because Florida man can help. Pat was a manager at Seville Quarter in Pensacola when Joe Kilchrist brought him in as a partner. Okay, so he's already in that business. So he went from fun to fun, right? So he's already in the business. I wanted the story like he was doing something. You know, Florida man, that's the narrative I would paint if I was making this as a drama, that he was doing something that, you know, just beat him down, one of those jobs, and next thing you know, he's living the life at the Florida-Alabama line. But he was already, okay. Quit with the facts. You're killing me here. Okay, Irish Indian says, Sean, I'm pretty sure he's military at one point, or he's got some military background. Okay, that's cool. No way. Brandon sent me, are you sure, said Air Force One is in Gulfport. Is that the new one? Is that the Qatari Air Force One, or is that the old one? That's so. Why would he be? I don't know the president's schedule today. I don't know where. I don't know if that's. You tell me, was that the new one or the old one? I don't know. We got Air Force One and 1.5, right? Actually, whatever the president's on is Air Force One, right? Like, whatever. It changes. Like, if the president's on there, I think I'm right. If the vice president would be on Air Force One for some reason, then it would be Air Force Two. Scorverine says your jackup oil rig idea sounds like G.I. Joe's transportable tactical battle platform. You know, Scorverine, that may be where the inspiration came for a young Sean who said, we ought to get us a jackup oil rig to have as our fishing camp. Oh, Florida man says, yeah, awesome guy. Yes, he went through flight school in Pensacola. There's a story going on here, right? I mean, there's a telling, a book has to happen. You flight school in Pensacola, work at Seville, then start being for Bama. Yeah, Brandon says it's doing touch and goes. Are we allowed to say that? They must be working on it. So there we go. Presidential aircraft in the area, and the Paul Feinbaum show coming on. Y'all have a great weekend. Hey, join Mike Ward and I tomorrow morning for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Love to talk to you then.